We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Roll tape, please.
Okay, let's get this show rolling.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Live, local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A three-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly three decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, we got some really good news for you this morning. The NFL schedule is coming out tonight. That's the good news because last night's Braves game was...
Good morning, Atlanta. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, John Fricke.
Good morning, Hugh Douglas.
Yeah, man, it was one of those games last night. You know, I just happened to look at my timeline, and there were a lot of people upset. A lot of people upset about the bullpen, rightfully so. And when it was like that, John, you know when it's so bad, sometimes it's just nothing that you could say to salve the wounds that the fans are feeling.
Oh, yeah,
you just kind of, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there is.
You
know, one thing
and you just kind of let it go. What's that? What's the one thing you can say?
We have breaking news. The Braves have signed
Craig Kimbrel.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially with the news coming out that he's willing to take a shorter deal.
Right.
You know, that's the thing, man. And Braves fans, I mean, it was bad last night to see how it went, how the Braves were fighting to get back in that game, to get in the game. And, you know, Max Fried pitching the way that he pitched and for it to go south the way that it did, man. It was tough to watch.
You know, because Fried gets out of the top of the fourth inning. Granted, it was a tough play. I'll grant you that. But if Ender does make that play, there's no runs in the inning. And he didn't. And look, Fried gave up the double. I get all that. But then in the bottom of the fourth inning, Ronald Acuna, somebody said to me, tweeted me, okay, let's step back here. If you didn't see the game last night, the Braves lost to the Arizona Diamondbacks. That's not to be confused with like the New York Yankees, who haven't been that great this year anyway. Diamondbacks beat him 9-6. In the game, Ronald Acuna hit a home run again, but this time he hit it the other way off his knees. Man, 448 feet.
Yeah, he crushed that thing, man.
Hey, if you know baseball history, there was one great home run hitter who used to hit almost all of his home runs with one knee almost either touching or almost touching the ground. And that was Reggie Jackson. It was just the way he swung.
Yeah, like trying to lift the ball up out the ballpark, trying to hit it into the stratosphere.
Right, he would get down really low with his left knee because he's left-handed and shrink, and he didn't hit the ball high, he hit low. Well, Acuna sort of did that unwittingly yesterday and hit it the other way 448 feet. Oh, my God. It's insane what this guy can do. And then Ozzie homers and Camargo's having a big night and the Braves look like they're fine and Fried is pitching great. And then the bullpen happened because the bullpen came in and, man, Hugh. What are we going to do about this?
John, that was tough to watch. That was tough to watch. And you know, my first inkling was to say, hey, you know what? It's one game. And, you know, my second was to say that, hey, it's still a lot of baseball left to be played. But after when you think about that, it's like, you know what? Nobody's trying to hit that right now because these are – you know, when you talk about the games that, you know, every team's going to win, I forgot what Chucky said, 30-some-odd games or 60-some.
Every team's going to win. Yeah, it's an old thing. Everybody's going to win 65 and lose 65. It's what you do in the other
ones that you have
right.
left.
Yeah.
And it made me think about that, man. And it's one of those things where, you know, you could really sound like a broken record when you're saying the same thing over and over again when you see the glaring issues with this squad. It, it's, It's unfortunate that it happened like that, but what are you going to do? You're going to scrap the whole – the middle relief and the bullpen?
Well
– and how much – you know, again
– no, I'm not going to scrap it.
Craig Kimbrell, I would say, again, how much would Craig Kimbrell really have helped you yesterday?
Well, he wouldn't have helped you much yesterday because it was middle
probably
relief.
Probably would have helped you – yeah, the middle relief hurt you, but at the end of the game –
it was Chad Sabatka and A.J. Minter. But again, you know, what are we looking at here? I mean – you had Sabatka and Minter come in, and I was just doing some of the math here. Sabatka comes in, you know, doesn't get an out. Minter comes in and gets two. And between them, they got two outs on 37 pitches and gave up six hits and six runs. But the definition of insanity, Hugh, is that you do the same thing over and over and over again with the expectation of a different result. So it isn't about getting Craig Kimbrell to come in and close a game for you because he wouldn't have helped yesterday. I think that's missing the point. The point is that You go out and you get Craig Kimbrell, and then you're able to move other people around in the bullpen to take the spots of Minter and Sabatka, and especially those two guys. Why is Chad Sabatka on this team?
Yeah, he gave nothing yesterday. He, if anything, he's the guy that put you in the bad spot that you were in. I mean, he could do anything. And to watch Brian Snicker walk out there yesterday, John, on the mound, it was just like, you know, he's seen enough. And it was almost like, you know, the walk of shame, the fans booing. Like I said, man, it was a bad situation. It was one of those ones where you really have to look at that and say, you know what, this can't continue. You know, and I'm all for I am the guy that maybe sometimes I wait too long to pull the trigger on things, but that cannot continue. They gave you your middle relief gave you nothing yesterday.
I haven't tried to tell you. I mean, I'm glad you're coming around on this because you've got to make – I know it's early in the season, but if you don't make changes now
– that one hurt. That one hurt yesterday. That one definitely hurt.
You know, we talk so much about the young pitchers and where they fit into this. Now, a couple of quick updates here. Mike Foltynewicz pitched another by the way, welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh. Mike Foltynewicz picked another rehab start last night. Did not pitch all that great. Threw 85 pitches, only went 3 2/3 for Gwinnett. So they're kind of sliding Foltynewicz back. That's a little bit of a setback. We had hoped to see Foltynewicz by Saturday, and it now looks like it's going to be into next week possibly. So they moved Tukey up in the rotation. They moved Julio Teheran up in the rotation. So we understand we have to deal with that. But the middle relief, the problem with the middle relief is it's the same guys you had last year who didn't perform last year. And at some point, you've got to go ahead and make a decision that you're going to wipe the slate clean, Hugh, and start. If you believe that Jesse Biddle, like you got rid of Sam Freeman, if you think that Jesse Biddle and you believe that Luke Jackson are still guys that you can kind of trust, fine. But again, how many more times do you have to see some of these people like Chad Sabatka or even A.J. Minter to know that you're going to get A.J. Minter almost cost you the season last year, what he did against Boston, and it was only because of good fortune that you were able to survive that. The good fortune of the Phillies collapsing, the fact that you got a break when you went out to Arizona and got away from it.
Yeah. I mean, and then to Carey's point last night, you know, you look around and middle relief isn't great for a lot of teams, but it was just last night was one of those ones where you look at it and it's really nothing you could come in and say in the morning. That was just, like, the way that they fought back, that was just tough to see. That was tough to watch last night. There's no question about that. That was really, really tough to watch last night.
And we have a lot to talk about over the next few hours with you as well. We're already getting some tweets in at our Twitter at 929thegame. And you can jump into the fray with us on my Twitter at John Fricke, at BigHugh53, at 929thegame. Ronnie tweeting in this morning, as an optimistic Braves fan, I'm assuming Kimbrell agreed to sign with us after the June draft so we don't lose that pick. Nobody's assuming anything. I mean, there's no reason for the Braves to wait. There's no reason for the Braves to sit on this and say, we don't want to lose a number one pick. I've heard this before. It's what, April 17th. Who cares about – seriously, who cares about the number one pick? Who cares? You got to win now. You won the division last year. We sit around worrying sometimes in this town – way, way, way too much about the future. The future, Hugh, is right now. If we have to give up our number one pick in the draft, then give up the darn number one pick in the draft. Look, we took the number one pick in the draft last year. It was Carter Stewart, okay? And guess what happened? You know where Carter Stewart is now? gone. He didn't sign with the Braves. Mm-hmm. They couldn't come to an agreement. Don't worry about the number one pick of the draft. You have to win this division now. You spent all this time. You told us to wait all these years. And so let's go and get this thing. And so Kimbrough in June is not going to do us any good. Besides, there are six teams vying for Kimbrough, and you said he's lowered his price.
He's lowered his price. I know I was reading it was the – I know one of the teams was the Phillies. One of the teams was the Phillies. I do believe it was the Mets, and it was somebody else. But this is the thing. It's just last night – I know it's only one game, but last night I'm pretty sure most Braves fans, when they watched that, that was almost like a dagger. It was a it was tough to watch. It was tough to watch, and I am not the is emotionally like I don't get invested just for one game, but that was a tough one to watch last night. Right, no question about it.
Talk more about the Braves coming up throughout the program and where we stand with the Atlanta Braves now. A couple other notes for the show today. Jeff Lorenowitz will join us at 8:40. We'll talk about Atlanta United and what's ahead with the Five Stripes. Coming up at 9:20, Nick Green. We'll talk Braves. We'll get inside Nick's head and what the Braves ought to do. Coming up in a few minutes, in about 9 minutes from now, if you missed the interview with Pete Prisco, it's very interesting what Pete said, the NFL expert for CBS, about the Falcons and ahead of the draft, what he thinks the Falcons will do, and talked about the pressure on Dan Quinn, what Dan Quinn has to do this year to keep his job. So we're going to replay that Pete Prisco interview for you in about 9 minutes from now. The NFL schedule comes out tonight. At 8 o'clock on the NFL Network, and who are the Falcons going to play in the opener? I have no idea. I'm kind of sitting here looking at you.
Are you going to be up all night waiting with bated breath, waiting for 8 o'clock to roll around and see the Falcons schedule?
I'm going to be
monitoring.
They're going to
make it a presentation. It's probably going to be a whole presentation.
Because the only thing we know for sure right now is Packers and Bears at Soldier Field, right? Mm-hmm. That's it? You know?
Yeah.
We don't know anything else.
Man, listen, just give me the schedule and let's keep it moving. And everybody else, we can debate this. We could leave this up for debate tomorrow. But the way that they're going to do this, this is going to be some long, drawn-out situation where they're going to try to hype it up with the drama and the key games and the key matchups in the different divisions. Man, just give me the schedule. Just give me the dang schedule.
Yeah, this is what they're going to do. The NFL makes productions out of these things.
Yeah.
They're going to, because you know what they'll do.
Oh, that game against so-and-so-and-so
if you're producing,
on December.
Right. If you're producing
December
the show.
Is going to be, come on, go on. You don't know that. Ain't nobody playing anybody. We ain't even had a draft yet. Stop it.
And well, the very first thing if you're producing the show is you're going to lead out with the known, which is the Packers and Bears,
yeah.
Right? Okay. Then you're going to go to maybe the Thanksgiving Day games, right? The Thanksgiving Day schedule.
Which we don't know what Green Bay. Dallas or Dallas and somebody.
Detroit,
yeah.
Right.
The usual suspects. Come on, man, stop it.
And then you're going to go to the Monday night games. Then you're going to go to the Thursday night games.
No, yeah. Come on. The Thursday night games, oh, yeah, that everybody has to play in. Come on.
And then you'll probably go division by division, which puts – and if they start with the AFC, that means the Falcons will be the very last. But, of course, you'll be cleaning throughout the day. Man – yeah, that's at 8 o'clock tonight, another NFL production. When we get back in a moment, Pete Prisco, what does Dan Quinn have to do this year to save his job? He answered the question, and you'll hear it next.
It's shot score!
Are back in action.
As they kick off season 3.
Catch every game here all season long.
Our MLS Cup champion Atlanta United play here.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hope you're having a safe drive in on this Wednesday. A lot to get into today. We'll be talking about all the key things in town, what's making news, and certainly that is the Atlanta Braves that are making news today, and not necessarily in a good way. But, of course, the Falcons are also making news, Hugh. And we note this morning that the draft is only 8 days away.
Eight whole days. Are you excited?
I am. I'm getting excited. But that's me. You know, I'm a draft wonk, Hugh. What can I, you know?
Yeah, good luck with that, John. I'm getting excited about because I'm going to see the Avengers.
I know, but I want the new little fun pieces to come in.
I'm going to see the Avengers Endgame. As a matter of fact, my ex, and like, you know, me, her, and my son, you know, this kind of like our thing. We're going to the movie. So she asked me last week.
Right.
She was like, oh, do you think I should get tickets? I was like, nah, got this. This is Georgia.
But aren't they going to sell out?
It's going to be somewhere you can get tickets. So I guess she got antsy and she pulled the trigger. So she sent me a a text this morning talking about the movie's 3 hours and 2 minutes long. And I'm like, so what? Like, big deal. Like, but she got the tickets. I got tickets. So got tickets to see the Endgame.
Is she going to, like, the midnight show?
No, it's, like, at 7:30.
Oh, okay.
7:30.
Opening night.
7:30.
All right.
Gotcha. 7:30 opening night.
The Falcons, they'll get set for Nashville and the trip up the road, 3.5 hours or so to Music City, USA. Pete Prisco is the NFL expert for CBS, and he was on with us late yesterday. If you missed the interview, some really interesting things about this interview. One of them talking about, and we'll get into the interview, about what Dan Quinn has to do. What's the number Dan Quinn has to hit this year to save his job? We begin the interview talking about the draft, and Prisco, who, and you could go to CBS and find this out, Prisco, who says that Arizona will not draft Kyler Murray number one. So we began by asking, why would the Cards pass on the Heisman Trophy winner?
Well, because I've done about five of those, and I just got to change it up every week. I have heard some information where, you know, maybe it's not going to happen with Kyler Murray in Arizona. Now, it's not definitive, but here's why. The ownership was pushing for, from what I was told, the ownership was pushing for that move to be made because the Cardinals, quite frankly, are having problems selling tickets, and they wanted to kind of put it out there and float it out there and gauge if there was going to be any, you know, fever, Kyler Murray fever over drafting him, and it hadn't worked out that way. So, you know, there's some people in that building that still like Josh Rosen. I still think he can be a quality quarterback. I don't think that it was fair to him what they did last year because the team was a disaster around them. The offensive line at the end of the year was the worst thing I've ever seen in this league in my life. And so why not draft a defensive player and then, you know, keep Rosen? So I still think it's a possibility. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I do still think it's a possibility.
Talking with Pete Prisco about some of the NFL headlines as we are 13 days away from the NFL draft. Pete, you have the Falcons in your new article, and you can go to CBSSports.com, or you can just Google Pete Prisco, P-R-I-S-C-O, CBS, and his columns will come up. In your mock draft, you have the Falcons taking Christian Wilkins. Been a lot of talk about the Falcons kind of being all over the place, but are you pretty set now that the Atlanta Falcons are going to go defensive tackle?
Well, I think they have a need there. I know they have the kid Sanat that they drafted last year, who's, you know, a little bit of a fire hydrant and a smaller defensive tackle, and they have high hopes for him. But I still think they need to, you know, address that position. Plus, you never know with Grady Jarrett what the contract situation is going to be like. And so I think they do need to look at that position, and there is going to be some value there, I think. But you got to also look at, the right tackle situation. I know they paid some Brilo that money, but if one of the right tackles that they like was there, maybe that's a possibility. And also the corner position. I mean, you know, they have high hopes for Isaiah Oliver, but they also have to hope like heck that maybe you can get another corner in this draft. So for me, I think there's a bunch of different ways they go. I don't think there's a corner worth taking in that spot. You could address that position later in the draft. Maybe if Juwan Taylor fell to him at right tackle, that would be a possibility. But I also think that there's some value there for the defensive lineman.
You know, with every team, they build their teams according to the division. And when you look at this division, the NFC South, how do you think the Falcons stack up against the Saints and everybody else in the division?
Well, again, I think, you know, last year, you know, they had so many injuries right off the bat in the middle of the defense. And it impacted the way the team played every way around because, you know, they were in shootouts, the offense got pressure put on it, and it wasn't the same type of unit. I think the offensive line was bad last year. There's a lot of pressure at Matt Ryan's feet. That's never a good thing. That's why they addressed it with the guards and free agency. So I do think they can match up with everybody in the division. I think it's still a good, talented football team. Now they got to do some things. They have to protect him better. They have to run the ball a little bit better. They have to pressure the quarterback better for sure. And that was something that was surprising to me last year. I thought with, you know, McKinley there and Beasley and that group and Grady Jarrett and inside pressure that they would be able to pressure the quarterback better than they did. So if they can do all that stuff, and those are a lot of ifs, I think they could be right there with the Saints to compete for the division again.
Pete Prisco is an NFL expert, senior writer for CBS and CBSSports.com, joining us, talking about the draft, talking about the Falcons. Boy, the Falcons, Pete, they talk about blowing your team up internally. All their coordinators, Sarkisian out, he goes, ends up going back to Alabama, Mark Emanuel out, Keith Armstrong out. They bring in a new special teams guy. They bring in a new offense coordinator who was the old guy in Dirk Cutter. Dan Quinn elevates himself to defensive coordinator. How is all this going to work from a coaching perspective? These are big changes.
Well, I think Dirk Cutter is a great move to bring him back with Matt Ryan. I mean, they have familiarity there. They know each other very well. I think Dirk's a bright offensive mind, and I think that'll be good for the offense. I think that's a good move. And people might not know this, but Dan Quinn called the defense at the end of the season in the Super Bowl run. He was the de facto defensive coordinator in that year. So I don't think there's going to be much of a change there. He's going to be heavily involved in the defense. And, you know, special teams are special teams. Punt the ball out of bounds and we'll get away. We'll go on to the next game, you know. I'm not kidding. But, I mean, you know, we tend to overanalyze the special teams in the NFL these days. But for me, I think, you know, getting Dirk Cutter back is very good for that team. And I think Dan Quinn is a bright defensive mind. And if he can handle, and, you know, hiring guys around him that are good will help him handle the entire big picture while he calls the defense. That's a good move for them.
You know, when you look at the moves that were made, there were some big sweeping moves. But does that mean, do you look at that and think that this is a make or break year for Coach Quinn? Like, you know, his job is in jeopardy?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, yeah, he probably does have to win. I mean, if they go 6-10, I think he's in trouble. If they go 9-7 and don't make the playoffs and they have a lot of injuries like they did a year ago, then no. So it just depends on the circumstance. But, yeah, if he has a bad year, I think he realizes, I mean, the Falcons realize it, he would be in trouble. But I don't see that happening. I think there's too much talent on that team, and I think Matt Ryan's too good a quarterback, and I think he'll thrive again. That's another thing. Is you look at his numbers last year, Matt Ryan's numbers were better than they were when he was the MVP of the league. I mean, he had that type of season. And so for me, I think getting Cutter back, I think they'll be, you know, prolific on offense. I think Ridley will be that much better next year. They have a chance to be really good on offense. It's just a matter of staying healthy on defense.
Talking with Pete Prisco, NFL expert, CBSSports.com. Pete, what's the one thing that could surprise everybody?
Keep an eye on the Jets at 3. I think teams that are quarterback needy might go up and make a, you know, blockbuster move to go get a quarterback, particularly, and here's one out there, if Kyler Murray doesn't go 1, the Raiders are in play there maybe at 4, but I keep hearing that they like Haskins and that maybe Gruden's going to stick with Carr. If Kyler Murray doesn't go 1, where does he go? Well, some team out in the back end, you know, 13, Dolphins maybe, you know, Redskins at 15. Maybe one of those teams goes to 3 with the Jets and makes a move to go up and get Murray. If he doesn't go 1 and he doesn't go 4, he might take a tumble. As crazy as that sounds, because he could be the number 1 overall pick in the draft, but I don't think the Giants are going to take him at 6, even though they had him in there. It just doesn't seem like a Gettleman's quarterback. I don't think Elway's going to take him at 10, because that's not who he likes, his tall, statuesque quarterbacks. So where does he go? And it'll be interesting to see if that plays out. Now, he's probably going to go 1 overall, but if he doesn't, keep an eye on where he might go because he might tumble.
Speaking of draft night, I know, Pete, that, you know, you sit down and you break these things down. What is one thing that you think potentially happened on draft night that nobody is talking about?
I think Daniel Jones will go higher than people think. I think the quarterback from Duke will go a lot higher than people think. And, you know, there's draft media out there and there's draft analysts out there. But when you talk to teams, they're much higher on Daniel Jones than, you know, those people are. And the reason being, they think he's an NFL quarterback who could stand in the pocket. Make the throws. Look, he played at Duke. His offensive line was atrocious. He played. Think about that. He lined up against Clemson and had to get beat to death by that defensive line. And so for me, I think Daniel Jones is one that will go higher than people think. Josh Jacobs is a running back who's very good, but he's not an elite back, so there's a chance you might not have a runner go in the first round. I still think he does, but there's a chance you might not have a running back go in the first round, and that would be a bit of a surprise.
All right, so Pete, I'm going to put you on the spot. I know we haven't even had the draft yet, and we're not through with everything, but if I gave you $100 right now, and you're standing in front of me in Vegas, and you get whatever odds you want, 2-1, 10-1, yes or no, the Falcons make the playoffs, which are you putting it on?
I would say yes. I would say yes. You got to stay healthy, though.
Yeah, I know, but you don't get a bet.
I don't
and say,
get,
say, I say yes. Do I get I the they got to stay healthy writer on this?
I would say yes, because I'm a big believer that Dirk Cutter is going to be much better for that offense than what it was, and it was pretty good. And I think defensively, those guys are going to be healthier than they were a year ago. So I would say yes.
Pete Prisco says yes. The Falcons are going to make the playoffs. We'll react to that and to the 8-day countdown to the NFL draft. We'll do that next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
It's a really interesting draft this year. The people that are going to be around there through the first 20-something picks.
The NFL Draft. We've got your exclusive coverage live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
It all starts with Dukes and Bell at 2 p.m. on draft day. And then our NFL Draft Show from 7 to 11 with Mike Conti, Wes Durham, Dave Archer, and Randy McMichael.
No one can cover the draft like us because our Falcons play here.
It's just time to go.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
A lot of ways to be part of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Of course, you can always tweet us at our Twitter, at 92.9 The Game. And a lot of people talking this morning about the Braves in the bullpen and what are we going to do about this ridiculous bullpen. You know what I mean? All right, we're going to have to figure that one out.
Yeah, it was bad last night. It was one of the ones, John, where, you know, I'm not a panic button pusher, but it would be hard to come in here and explain that one away, you know, and tell fans that, hey, you know what? It's just one game, and it's not going to be that bad always. I'm going to let somebody else do that. We get a chance to talk to some people that actually, you know, have played the game of baseball, so I'm going to let them do that. I'm not about to be the one.
Hey, 92.9 The Game and Relay for Life need your help. If you can, we want you to play a huge part in helping us raise funds for the American Cancer Society, help cancer patients and survivors all across the country. And I've been mentioning everybody's touched by cancer somehow. It's just a god-awful thing. My family was this year. We want you to go to a website, relayforlife.org/join. That's relayforlife.org/join. And look for the Game Changers team name. That's our team, the Game Changers, at relayforlife.org/join. Register for our team at the Relay for Life event Friday, May 3rd at Jim Miller Park in Marietta. Friday, May 3rd, Jim Miller Park in Marietta. And be part of our team, the Game Changers. That's relayforlife.org. All right, so we're talking about the Braves. We're also talking about the NFL schedule coming out tonight with the week-by-week schedule. We'll do that at the top of the hour and get into that about what we expect to see from the NFL this evening. Pete Prisco comes on the show, and we just played it to you, and he says that, the Falcons are going to make the playoffs. Are you with him on this at this point?
They should. They definitely should make the playoffs, but there's a lot of intangibles in that. And, you know, he tried to hedge a little bit when he talked about staying healthy, because that's the biggest key, is to stay healthy. And another key is to make sure that Grady Jarrett is happy, because he's one of the catalysts that on your defense that's going to help you catapult into the playoffs. So there's that. So, yeah, I think without putting those intangibles into it and saying that, if just say for argument's sake, that everything works out in their favor as far as, you know, getting contracts done and everything like that, yes, the Falcons will be in the playoffs.
Now, I realize that when it comes to the Falcons, I'm way too close to this, okay? I admit that I'm a homer when it comes to the Falcons, all right? I'm going to be a fan. I've been a fan for – this will be my – oh, my God. What is it, 2019? My 45th season.
This will be your forever fan.
45th season as a Falcons fan. Daryl says it's older than me. Back to the days of the General Bob Lee, okay? I mean, Scott Hunter and those guys. So sometimes I need to step back as a talk show host and say, hey, listen, what does the national media think about all of this? This is why when we were discussing with Prisco, we asked him about this year and about Dan Quinn. And just to go back, this is what he said again.
Yeah, he probably does have to win. I mean, if they go 6-10, I think he's in trouble. If they go 9-7 and don't make the playoffs and they have a lot of injuries like they did a year ago, then no. So it just depends on the circumstance. But, yeah, if he has a bad year, I think he realizes, I mean, the Falcons realize it, he would be in trouble. But I don't see that happening. I think there's too much talent on that team, and I think Matt Ryan's too good a quarterback, and I think he'll thrive again. They have a chance to be really good on offense. It's just a matter of staying healthy on defense.
Yeah, but exactly. I mean, because, again, you got to think the last three games that they won when you got Deion Jones back and how different it was, you're going to get Keanu Neal back. And I know everybody's kind of locked in on this whole thing, Hugh, about, you know, the injuries that happened. And you can't presume injuries. But if those injuries don't happen last year, that team makes the playoffs last year. But they
did. I would
think
so. Yeah, you had a lot of injuries in the middle of your defense.
You
put your defense in a bad spot.
I'm not blaming injuries. You have to overcome them. I get that. But, and here's the big old but in all of this, the fact is this is a good football team.
Yeah, but this is the thing, John, and this is why I think fans were upset. And if I'm wrong, please chime in and let me know. I don't even have to tell you that. You're going to do that anyway. But we were told that the next man up mentality was, you know, hey, again, next man up. And we were told that the next man up was just as good as the man that went down.
Well.
And the unfortunate thing about that is there were too many next man up scenarios for this team. And too many guys that were not slated to be starters were pushed into starter roles in a short period of time. And that's what got us in trouble. Now, to have one or two guys that are plugged in, that are playing for a brief amount of time, that's something different. But you're talking about some key components that went down. And then you just had basically you're playing a full season with a piecemeal defense.
You want to sit here and tell me that the Dan Quinn has done a poor job of building depth on the team. I think that's one argument. The other argument is he's done such a good job with these frontline picks. We have stars at every single level of this team. And the star players are so good that when you get the next man up, he's just not the star.
Well, it's that. It's a little bit of that, John. But it's also you had a lot of guys get hurt at key positions. Like I said, you when you look at the injuries that you had injuries on the D-line, you had injuries in the linebacker core, and you had injuries to your secondary players, mm-hmm. both your safeties.
Right.
That's in the teeth of your defense. You know, that's not on the edges. That's right up the middle. And when you look back at where the Falcons had troubles, it was right in the middle of that defense. You know, Grady Jarrett gets hurt for a time at the beginning of the season. Right in the middle of your defense. That's tough. And then on the fly, you're bringing in guys that were on the street and you're having to revamp and rechange and reshape your defense on the fly. So you're learning. You're getting on-the-job training for real, for real. And unfortunate thing about that, you know, this NFL train, once it starts rolling, it doesn't stop to the end.
Well, I mean, it cost coordinators their jobs, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
This is why, you know, when we talk about does Dan Quinn have to hit a number, I can almost guarantee, look, without even being in Arthur Blank's office, we know what the conversation was. You'd better win now. We've spent a lot of money. We position this franchise to be a winner in that immaculate $1.8 billion stadium or whatever it is. You got to win now. And that's the message. That's why there's so much change. I mean, forget about the player changes. You fired all three coordinators off a team that went to the Super Bowl 3 years ago. That's, hey, listen, you're going in the wrong direction. You know, that's pretty clear to me.
I'll tell you what, though. This one thing about Coach Quinn, he ain't scared to pull that trigger, though. He ain't scared to shoot. He will shoot the J.
8 days until a draft where we have no clue who the Atlanta Falcons are going to pick. Man, it's really an unusual situation. The NFL schedule's out tonight. Who will the Falcons open with? That's next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.